Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Paul Geiger's here. Paul is a senior associate instructor at New York Speech Coaching in New York City. He's an accomplished actor, a voiceover expert, and an on-camera host, and he's the author of a brand new book, his first book, Better Business Speech, Techniques, Tricks, and Shortcuts for Public Speaking at Work, and he's our new friend, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. So, I love talking about this topic because, see, I'm a grizzled old salesman. My first public speaking was selling stuff, and I consider a salesperson, a professional salesperson, to be tantamount to a public speaker. And so whenever I get a chance to talk about public speaking, I'm not just talking about people like you and me who go out and pontificate on what we've got on our mind. And I mean regular folks who are out there making things happen. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You bring up sales calls and being a salesperson as being someone who is invested in public speaking, but when you really look at it, all forms of business communication, they are a form of public speaking. So it's not really a matter of...
Managers are influencing employees, trying to influence employees, aren't they?
Leaders. Without a doubt. I mean, Leaders. We're really talking about persuasion, aren't we? I mean, mm-hmm. It's a matter of... And I don't mean coercion, and I don't mean
right.
having someone immediately go to your side of the fence, but being able to verbally create a really strong framework that they can then consider. I mean... Is the beginning of the trust that goes into business built on someone understanding that you are ready, willing, and able to share your perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, being able to do that. Anything that holds you back from doing that is putting a ceiling on your career. Therefore, an aversion to public speaking could trickle down into your ability to really do business on a much higher level.
Holding back your career. No, that's exactly right, especially when people believe that your point of view, what you're trying to accomplish with them, is a benevolent thing. It's something that could benefit you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. You've got some steps, some things that, and folks, we're going to couch this from a public speaking standpoint. And I may talk a little bit about selling as we go along, but think as Paul said, think about this. If we talk about it in the form of being a public speaker, you know, modify the examples into your next meeting when you're conducting your next meeting with your employees or with investors or with customers or whatever. So, Paul, where do we start?
Well, I put the book together so that so many individuals could come at it from different points of view. It may be that you do recognize what could be holding you back in terms of your voice, or you may just have a complaint about your voice saying, I just don't speak well, I don't like the sound of my voice, I speak too quickly, I speak too slowly. And so in the book, I write down what the reasons are, why that happens. Because I find that some people believe that either you're born a good public speaker or you're not. But, you know, none of us were born as speakers. We actually learned how to speak just by imitation.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody ever really talks about what is going into being able to speak well or being able to be a good public speaker. So I tried with this book, and hopefully succeeded, to put together a methodology pointing out of what the challenges are, the reasons why these challenges exist, and then offer techniques to try to overcome the various challenges.
How much of the challenges are just us getting out of our own way?
Well, a lot of them are based on perception, that is true, but a lot of them have to do with understanding not only the physical and mental aspects of speech, but understanding the dynamics of what goes into various meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I do, you know, again, another entry into the book is to look specifically at a particular business communication scenario, whether whether it's meetings, meetings with superiors, presentations, networking events, job interviews, and even sales calls, and look at them and what is going on? What are the dynamics that are going on? How does that affect you? How does that stop you from your ideas flowing out of you? What is going on that's keeping you from being that really good public speaker?
Mm-hmm.
And a good public speaker with, of course, we have to be authentic. It has to be an authentic message that comes across, because anything less is going to erode the trust that we need to develop.
Well, and that's more important today than ever, I think, because people are a lot faster today than we were 40, 50 years ago. I think we're a little less impatient for things that aren't authentic. What about, you talk about in your book, you talk about your bumper sticker.
Is that like
an elevator pitch? Is that a tagline? What is that?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Jim. It actually came out of the fact that so many of my clients, my speech coaching clients, would come to me and say, "Well, let me give you my elevator pitch, or let me give you my pitch," and then they would rattle on for about 2 to 3 minutes, and I'd go, "Whoa,
that's a big building, wasn't it?"
Hold on, yeah, that elevator pitch is no good. So, I came up with not just a sentence or two sentences, but actually a bumper sticker, meaning you have to have the economy of words to fit that message on a car bumper sticker. So the thing that it does is it clarifies the message for the listener, but it also makes the message incredibly visceral for the speaker, which grounds you back in your body, grounds you back in your impulses, grounds you back in what it is that you're trying to accomplish in a really authentic way. And I found that it just worked miracles with my clients. So I like to use that term just to understand the brevity that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, though, and I like the way you think about it, because one thing about it is you know, when you're in sales, when you're speaking, well, I'll give you an example, and I'm sure this has happened to you. I've been invited to speak somewhere, and it oftentimes might not be a keynote necessarily. It'd be where I was asked to share some ideas or whatever, and they said, and I said, "How much time do I have?" They said, "Well, you have about 30 minutes." And so I'd put something together, and when I get there, their schedule ran over, and they say, "Hey, you only got 10 minutes. So I had to learn to be prepared to put it on a bumper sticker almost.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And the same thing in sales.
Yeah.
You could think your customer could call. You know, you could think you could ask them, you know, how much am I going to have? I'm going to need about an hour to make my proposal presentation. And you get there, and they say, "Hey, you only got 30 minutes.
Yeah. Suddenly you have to be able to trim it down. And, you know, it's really interesting.
Hold on to that thought, Paul. I got to take a quick break. Folks, we got more of that to come with Paul Geiger. The new book is called Better Business Speech. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.